Hey there, this is Victoria. Thank you for tuning into this special Monday series on the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast called Coffee with Carol. This is a unique four-part series stemming from an organic, minimally planned in advance conversation between Carol McLeod and me. She aired the show on her podcast called Significant Women Podcast, and I'm airing it on mine in four different segments, all dropping on Mondays. Part one discusses our morning routine and how we seek the Lord. Part two is all about our current struggles. Part three addresses regret, shame, and handling your past, as well as the key mindset to become more forward-focused. And part four, Carol and I share our favorite Bible verses and the impact they've had on our lives, practically speaking. Carol is president and CEO of Carol McLeod Ministries. Carol is a best-selling author and popular speaker at women's conferences and retreats, where she teaches the Word of God with great joy and enthusiasm. She encourages and empowers you with passionate and practical biblical messages mixed with her own special brand of hope and humor. She's a prolific author and loves digging for treasure in the Word of God. Her 16th book, which was called Timeless, The Living and Enduring Word of God, released back in June of last year, where she dives into the book of 1 Peter. It has an accompanying 9-week video teaching series, making it a great choice for small group study. And my sweet friend Sharon and I were actually in the audience when this study was filmed live. Please show Carol some love by buying one of her books and following her on social media. All the links are in the show notes.
Let me go this way, Victoria. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
So I think you know that every night on Facebook, I write an evening conversation. And, you know, sometimes I might share a childhood memory or a devotional, something the Lord taught me, or my favorite book, or whatever it might be. All ends of the spectrum. So a couple weeks ago, I wrote about something that started a very feisty conversation.
Oh,
so interesting that this was the thing that people really sort of reared up and reacted to.
Okay.
on a spectrum. And this was what I was talking about. What do you do when your life hasn't turned out the way you thought it would?
Mm.
Like, do you ever struggle with that, Victoria? That you had one picture as a little girl and they lived happily ever after, and your life has not turned out the way you thought it would?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely.
So what do you do?
Well, you know, I think I struggle a considerable amount with regret.
Mm.
And it's not that, you know, I guess I could say, oh, I thought this as a kid, or I wanted this as a child, or as a young adult even, and then I am so far away from that picture, that image of, for example, my marriage or my family. I don't do that as much as I think about things that I did, my own, you know, transgressions and my own mistakes and errors that I made, that even when I didn't know the Lord, or decisions I made still can kind of haunt me, for lack of a better word. It's like that comparison that comes knocking at your door, that little whisper to, you know, that little dart that the enemy may fire. I have to work very, very hard not giving way to thoughts that are full of shame, maybe regret and disappointment in myself, blaming myself for so many, you know, you've got to walk out consequences of a lot of choices that we make. And some, of course, there are heavier consequences than others based on those decisions. But I think that I cannot in my life at this time give much room in my brain for that. I cannot allow those thoughts of regret and shame and disappointment. They may knock on my mind's door, but I'm not going to answer. I cannot answer because I don't want to invest time rehashing again and again and again my mistakes that God has forgiven me for. Or if only I had done this, then maybe my life would have been like this. I would never really know that anyway. But all of that retrospection and looking back really is an emotion energy zapper for me.
And I don't have that to spare. So I'm very deliberate about not giving much mind room for looking backwards. Now, I have a faith journal, and I'm going to look backwards all day long about what the Lord has done in my life and those points where He has stepped in almost miraculously to indicate, to show and demonstrate His love for me. But as far as engaging and spending time on those regrets, I just don't want to do it. You know, and there is a difference between shame and guilt. I mean, guilt is a biblical principle, really, and is one for which Jesus has died for and paid the debt on the guilt that we owe figuratively with every sinful choice that we've made, really, or even will make. Shame, on the other hand, is really from the accuser, and it's an enemy worldview and an enemy weapon. And I don't want to give much time for that. So as far as how I handle that, I would, you know, admit my weaknesses before the Lord and just say, Lord, I've struggled. I would confess those things and involve Him in that. And then from that point on, I would be more forward focused instead of what I call backward bashing. And that's one prayer that I've had years ago, you know, in my different prayers I've had, I can remember, Lord, if I had a thought like that, I would just say, Lord, I'm not going to be backward bashing. I'm going to be forward focused or forward looking. And that shifts my perspective very quickly so that I'm like snuffing out those thoughts that try to get me to harbor and focus on all the regret. Regret is, it's tough, but I've worked really hard on that because I have a lot of things that I regret. So.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's life has turned out the way they thought it would when they were little girls or teenagers or first in love, whatever, college dreams, you know, I'm going to change the world. Right. I don't think anybody can validly say, yep, this is my picture. I made it 40 years ago and this is what I got. I don't think life is like that. I don't think you put in a quarter and get out a desired result. You know, for me, in some ways, my life is incredibly, infinitely better than I ever thought it would be. And in other ways, it hasn't turned out what I thought it would. But for me, Victoria, that's where gratitude comes in. That's where intentional thanksgiving comes in. That rather than listen to disappointment talk to me, I make myself speak in the language of gratitude. I'm grateful for my husband and how kind he is. I'm grateful for the home we get to live in. I'm grateful that my mom is still alive. And so I think it's very important to be on the offensive about our lives. And when those thoughts of, oh, I thought it would be so much different than this, that you land in the land of gratitude, because we all have things to be grateful for. For me, that's just been a very practical tool in dealing with regret or disappointment, to always turn my mind toward the land of gratitude. It's a simple habit, but so powerful. And, you know, I'm thinking the way women think right now, they might be thinking, oh yeah, that's not going to work. Oh yeah, it does work actually. You know, just try it. Try it for a month, that when regret or shame or comparison tries to bombard you, put out that bucket of gratitude and see how it changes your mindset, because it actually does. It's actually a very powerful choice.
That is really good. Such a good reminder. And scientifically, the impact, the positive impact of gratitude and being specific, we need to be specific. That's a little element in being grateful. Not just I'm grateful for my family, but I'm grateful for when my, you know, I play checkers with my granddaughter Ella, blah, 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 you know, specifics. But it really impacts our brain. And over time, it's a real incredibly positive change can happen in your brain to where then you become inclined in with that kind of gratitude as a mindset. I look at it almost like a cloak that you put on. You go to your closet and you pick out what you're going to wear today. Yeah. Well, you go to your closet and you pick out gratitude and you put that on. It shadows everything. It covers everything and in such a wonderful way. So I really
and
love
for
that.
Me, gratitude has really been like a spiritual antibiotic that it fights against the viruses of a critical spirit or bitterness or, again, regret. Mm. That when you choose to take that antibiotic of gratitude, it wipes those things out of your life.
And that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1-2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co, that's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com, and that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.